Welcome to Two Titans and a Hunter, a Destiny 2 podcast. A show where we discuss tips, tricks and tools to help all Guardians succeed and enjoy playing more. What makes us different? Well, we're not streamers or YouTubers. We just have a passion for Destiny and are dedicated to keeping Guardians informed and up to date with all the latest Destiny 2 information, news and opinions. You can contact us either by email, twotitansandahunter@hotmail.com, or on Twitter, @2titans_hunter. Now, on with the show. Hello, and welcome to our first ever Two Titans and a Hunter podcast. I'm your host, Night Demon. I'm a Titan main and play Destiny 2 solely on Xbox. I am joined by two Guardians because, to be honest, that's all I could find to do this show. One has the lethal prowess of a tiger stalking its prey in the bushes, and the other has the lethal prowess of an armadillo hiding in the bushes. I'm talking about my Fireteam Guardians, Parody and Respawn. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I am Parody, and I am a Titan main.
My name is No One Respawns in real life, and I am a Hunter main, a.k.a. the Master Race. I know you Warlocks might have something to say. Sure, we could have a healthy debate. I like Warlocks as well. But as far as all you Titans out there, how can I put this?
No swearing.
You're wrong. You're just wrong. But that's what the show is all about, comparing everything there is to Destiny and finding out exactly how wrong you are and how much of a Master Race hunters really are.
That's okay. Why we could only find one of them to be on the show with us.
Right. the other one is actually transitioning from being a Titan to a Hunter. He's finally coming over to the dark side.
You were the only mad two that would actually join me on a podcast.
I thought,
which two members of the clan would... Those two. Yeah, those two.
Who looks like the biggest sucker? Ah, the dumb Titan that runs around punching everything. Perfect, perfect. And the Warlock who talks a lot.
Right. And you know what? To be fair, I want to rebut what he's saying, but I've got no ground to stand on. He's 100% right. Let's be real.
You really don't.
So should we just dive straight in? I thought we'd go with this week at Bungie for the 31st of January. And their first topic was the Whisper of the Worm quest. And yep. They say, for those of you who haven't heard, that the Whisper in Destiny, their frequency has increased, and they're still on. If you're still on the hunt for the Whisper of the Worm, head on to Io with your fire team or solo to take on the challenge. The quest is available to all players of Destiny 2. So, Respawn, take us away. What is this quest, and what is it, if people don't know?
Well, okay, for those that don't know what the last Whisper is, either you've just joined Destiny, in which case, welcome, or you're lazy and you really, really need to play more. I mean, come on. I know people got lives and kids and angry wives, or maybe not angry wives. I don't know. Maybe it's just mine. Probably just mine. Point is, it's a really, really, really good sniper. And by really good, I mean, if you're ever in a position where the boss is going to stand still for any amount of time, that's the weapon you want. Not only does it do a hell of a lot of damage, but as long as you land three critical hits in a row, without too much of a pause between them, you get all three rounds right back in the magazine out of nowhere. Not your inventory, just magic. You have infinite rounds with the sniper, just as long as you hit all the crits. Now, how do you do it? For all those who don't know, it does start on Io and the Lost Oasis. And it used to be you had to wait for a specific quest to start where there would be this taken boss, right? And all these little taken orbs would show up, and then you'd have to run over to the Lost Sector within the Oasis, right? And there would be another boss waiting for you. You kill him, and once you kill him, you can go into the cave. And once you get into the cave, the easiest way to do this is there's a rock right as you come in. You jump on the rock. You turn around 180 degrees, there's going to be a ledge. You jump from the rock to the ledge. And then if you look straight towards another ledge, you can jump from the ledge you're standing on into kind of like an alcove slightly to the right between you and that other ledge. Once you're in there, you just got to shoot a taken orb. There's going to be a hole that pops up in the ground. You dive down in the ground. And there's going to be somewhat of a jumping puzzle. It's really self-explanatory. There's no divots or craziness that's going to really trip you up the first couple parts of it. So just, you know, it's very linear. You'll eventually get to a room that's got a bunch of these, black hole looking things, these giant holes in the walls to your left and to your right. And then you make your way to the very topmost hole all the way to the right. And that's going to take you to the next part of this, where there's going to be another jumping puzzle. Now, the jumping puzzle is kind of complicated to talk about over the podcast. So what we can do is we can post a link to a page that will show you all the details about how to do this jumping puzzle, which includes a video. After this next jumping puzzle, you're going to go into a room where you have to jump from, you know, X, Y, and Z, and there's going to be lots of ads, right? You kill all the ads, start with the knights, kill the knights first, and then clean up the rest of the ads. After this, you're going to be spawned into a room with three bosses. Initially, one spawns, and then once you do enough damage to him, the other two will spawn shortly after that. Kill all three bosses, and you just get the sniper rifle. No questions asked. However, the caveat is you have to do all of these things within 20 minutes. As long as you can do that, you'll get one of the best sniper rifles in the game. After you've obtained said sniper rifle, you can go back in once you've unlocked hard mode. And hard mode for this same quest gives you the catalyst for this sniper rifle. And the catalyst increases reload rate, and it also greatly increases... What else does it do?
I think it does damage as well. It's box breathing that it gives you.
Yep, that's right. So the catalyst for this weapon gives you something called box breathing. And what box breathing is when you sight in on a target for a second or two, you're going to get an indicator on your screen that says you can do extra damage. As long as you don't sight out of the scope, you can do extra damage while targeted on whatever target you have. Now, the box breathing only takes effect when you get the critical. You have to hit the critical for the box breathing to even be effective. And on top of that, the other part of the catalyst is it increases your reload speed. But who cares? You never have to reload as long as you always get the crit hits.
And yeah. Like Respawn said, that we'll link a video tutorial. The best one that I found on YouTube was by Eeyore. Mm-hmm. I think that's how you say it, Eeyore. He's done a complete guide on how to get the Whisper to start off with, how to do the hard mode. And then go back, and there's also a secret ship that you can get. There's some oracles, which are these glowing balls of light that are hidden in the map. And if you shoot them in a certain sequence, they will give you a special chest, I think, that opens up, that you can then collect the blueprint and then go back. I think you have to do it every week for 3 weeks, don't you? Because you have to do it on a solar burn, a void burn, and an arc burn week. And once you've done each the hard modes on those, you'll get the parts for the ship, take it to
Amanda Holiday.
That's it, Amanda Holiday, and she'll create your ship that looks very similar to the ship that we get from, is it Oryx in Destiny 1?
Yes. So, it's very pretty. It's very, very pretty.
Saying that, I have not got it yet. I've only done it on, I think, the Void Week, and I still haven't managed to time my runs to go back and do it.
You know, I'm right there with you. I feel you. I mean, there's so many other things to do inside the game with all the weeklies and everything like that. I'll be honest with you, the Whisper just kind of slips my mind, you know? And the ship, I've got so many other really cool ships, especially the one of the new ones from the latest DLCs, the one that looks like it's got SIVA all over it. Man, I love that ship. It's one of the greatest ones, I think. So, I mean, with all these other great exotics, it honestly just slips my mind. You know, that's not an excuse. It is an excuse. I'm sorry. I'm saying it. Get over it. I just forgot. All right.
Okay. So the next topic on this week at Bungie is the last word exotic quest. Okay. Bungie said that the last word is back. All owners of the annual pass are invited to kick off their last draw quest at the Drifter and earn their reward. And it says, many of you have earned this coveted reward and taken it for a spin in the Crucible. We've been following the conversation and seen a lot of feedback concerning the different feels between Destiny 1 and Destiny 2. And it says the team are currently looking into this. So, Parody, if you want to explain what this quest is and what you get from it and why it's worth it.
Well, why it's worth it is, who knows, but I did complete the quest. I did go through it. Basically, it's you jump into... I'm sure I had the steps pulled up in front of me.
Tainted Artifact. You get the Tainted Artifact right from the Drifter. From the
That's right.
Tower. Yep.
Well, so let me pull this up because I don't have the steps right in front of me and I don't remember them.
Also, something to be made aware of, right? He said, why is it worth it? I don't know. I can tell you why it's worth it. Because when you land those hipfire shots, it does bonkers damage. You can four-shot a Guardian out of its super. And they have no way to defend against it. You know why? Because it doesn't have an elemental attribute attached to it like some of the other hand cannons in the game, right? Like most hand cannons, especially the ones that are very sought after in the Crucible, they have an elemental damage type tied to them. So if you know that you're going to be playing Crucible, you can spec your armor out specifically to resist that damage type, and it's going to help you take more shots. Whereas with the Last Word, there's no damage type. You just do tons of kinetic damage, and it hurts a lot. Yeah,
kinetic damage always does more, doesn't it, apparently? It does.
Yeah. I'm going to say it does like an extra 4 or 10%, but there is an extra percentage for kinetic damage, yeah. And now, as kind of a segue on that, right, why it's worth it on the Xbox and why it's worth it on the PC. Well, if you have it on the Xbox, honestly, you're better off with the Not Forgotten. It does a hell of a lot more damage. It's got more, It does a lot of damage. It's got a lot of range, and it's pretty reliable when it comes to these kinds of things because it's got that accuracy tied to it as well. Whereas the Last Word, if you have console and you, for some reason, sight in on console with the Last Word, it's going to kick like an angry donkey. There's no getting around it. It's going to kick hard. And when you hip fire it, 4 body shots, you take out the Guardian. There's really no need to sight in, right? If you're at shotgun range or closer, just boom, 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 done. It's game over, right? However, if you're on the PC, now this is where it gets complicated because the PC with the M and K, meaning mouse and keyboard, the stability on the Last Word is phenomenal. It is ridiculous. So you can sight in on the Last Word and your grouping is going to be very, very tight at its max range. And it's crazy. However, if you sight in using the Last Word, you lose the bonuses that come with the fact that the weapon's exotic. Hip firing is what gives you the extra damage and the faster reload. So if you sight in with it, even if you have the stability that you do on the PC, you're losing out on its exotic perks. So that's the ups and downs for PC and Xbox.
So now that we've talked about why you want to get the weapon, here's how to actually get the weapon. First rep, go to the Drifter. He'll hand you a pretty little heart. You're going to take that. You're going to go murder a bunch of Hive. You need to kill Hive with solar damage, and you're going to get 75 Hive tablets, and then you're also going to need to defeat 3 Hive bosses. Easy way to do that, roll over to Mars, fire up an escalation protocol, murder Hive till you're blue in the face. If you're still hunting one or all of the Ikelos weapons that may or might not actually exist in the game, because I just this last week got the Ikelos shotgun, and I've got a buddy who still has never seen Ikelos weapon drop. Go to Escalation Protocol, farm yourself some weapons, kill yourself some Hive. Next step, go into the Crucible. You're going to have to kill players in the Crucible. It's one of those, just like the Thorn Quest from Destiny 1, the more people you kill, the higher your little number gets. The more times you die, the lower your number gets. So if you're a Crucible god, go in there and wreck everybody. If you're not, grab your favorite weapon. Me, I have a dedicated relationship with my Bygones. Sit back, hang out, play them a little more conservative, throw a couple more grenades, you'll get through your Crucible step. After that, you're going to go complete a mission on Titan. Just a mission, run through it, kill things, everything's good. And then you're going to need to go kill 15 wanted escapees from lost sectors. That's going to take you a while, depending where you go. I went to on Nessus right when you drop in. Oh, what is the middle thing called? My brain has stopped working for a second. I can't believe I can't remember what this is called now. Hold on.
Bring up a map of Nessus.
Edit. Yeah, I know. I was just there earlier, and my brain is just like, nope, can't
think of words. Did you just say edit? Edit. Okay. Pause. Well, while you're looking that up, right? You could do the Nessus thing like what you're talking about, but what I find a lot easier is if you go to Mars and you go to the north spawn point up by Anna Bray and you hit that lost sector, you can hit like every step in that same lost sector.
I can beat that. I did it on Titan, and I did the same cheese that you used to be able to do for the faction rallies. And right. If you go down underneath where the ogre spawns, you run straight to that ogre. You kill that ogre with Warcliffe Coil or something else or special, you know, your super. And if you stay on the edge of the curve of the platform just before the loot box and just die, it will respawn you at the top of the stairs, and all you have to do is run straight back to the boss, kill him, and repeat it. It just respawns you outside the lost sector every single time.
Oh, that's perfect.
Because it took me, I don't know, 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's the other thing I did. Yeah, and Artifact's Edge on Ness is where I was.
That's
in.
It.
And Artifact's Edge, beaming there, run into that lost sector, kill that one of boss, because you can rush through all the Vex there and murder the boss. Yeah, and then I went to Titan, because again, the next part of the step is you've got to do the Witch's Ritual 3 times. So I just went to Titan, went down, I believe it's Cargo Bay 3, that lost sector.
Yeah.
It's right below where the double tanks spawn in there on Titan, on the rig. So yeah, I just ran in there over. I would run in, beat the lost sector, fast travel back to the top, kill do the witch's ritual if it was there. If not, go back and do that lost sector. And I would just fast travel back in and out because I didn't think of the dying trick. So anyway, do that 25 times. Or I'm sorry, do that 15 times. Doesn't take too long. You can farm one of these lost sectors. After that, you're gonna need 25 revenge medals in the Crucible. Easy way to kill a guy who killed you. If it's Mayhem Week, like it probably won't be once this goes up. Jump into Mayhem, murder some people. If not, go into Crucible with your double grenade Titan, just murder some people. Doesn't take too long to get those medals.
And no, just follow somebody around. I think that's probably the best thing to do, isn't it? Follow somebody around, wait for them to die, and then just
That's what I did in Mayhem. I wait my whole team to run forward. Whoever kills them, I pop in, I come up with my super, it's game over. But as to what you're saying right there, it's not only just the revenge medal, it's also if somebody kills your team and you kill them, there's that medal as well. And that's not revenge, it's something, I think, blood for blood, I think.
Yeah, blood for blood or revenge, either one will get you to. Yeah, and that's not one of those, unlike the first Crucible step, there's no backtrack. You just have to collect those medals. It's not like you have to collect those medals in a streak or anything. So you finish out that Crucible, then you're going to go murder Hive, 50 Hive with precision kills, and then you do your three witches ritual. And you can, these last four steps with the Crucible, the Lost Sectors, the Hive ritual, and then the 50 Hive precision kills, again, you can go to that same Lost Sector on Titan, shoot all your Hive in the head, reload it, do it over and over again, finish that up. You're going to go play the conversation mission on the Tangled Shore. It's basically you're going to murder a couple of Hive, then you're basically going to have a quick draw with this Hive guy at the end. There's going to be a plate you stand on. Once the plate finishes loading up, it's going to give you a last word. You're going to grab that last word and basically shoot the guy before he shoots you. You'll do that once, and then the second time, there will be two of them. On the third plate, there will be three of them, and they draw on you in the order that they spawn in. And don't, like I did, with your Titan and your Fist of Havoc, run into that area. You're like, I'm going to clean out all these, because there are a couple of knights that spawn and a bunch of Hive. You're like, I'm going to run in with my Fist of Havoc. I'm going to clean these guys out. It's going to be amazing. When the guy you're shooting at the end, when he spawns in, if he spawns in while your Fist of Havoc is still active, that Fist of Havoc aftershock will knock him out of the way, possibly behind his friend, making it very hard to shoot him. So be careful with your Fist of Havoc going in there. Don't do what I did.
I don't think anybody else would do what you did. I really don't understand what you were doing.
Oh, there will be someone. There will be another Titan.
I doubt it.
Someone else out there will run in there with their Fist of Havoc. They're like, I'm going to punch everything and everyone's going to be dead. So once you finish that part.
To be fair, he is a Titan. So, I mean.
We're a Titan. We're special people.
Right.
Anyway, once you quick draw, the quick draw really isn't
lumped
hard,
in with this.
And the ads, there aren't too many ads. It's not that long a mission. The hardest thing is just the quick draw thing. If you have terrible timing, do it till you get your timing down. It honestly took me about a dozen tries because I am terrible at timing. Just couldn't quite get my second kill down quick enough. But once you finish that, go back to the tower, go see the Drifter. He'll hand you the last word, and you can be cool like everybody else.
FYI, for everybody out here listening, if you need help with your last word quest, reach out to Parody, because with his great timing, he'll be the guy that you get the revenge for after he dies in the Crucible.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what I'm here for. I'm bright. I'm pink. I'm in the Crucible. You can't miss me.
And you play on Xbox, don't you, Perry?
Oh, yes.
Find a new way to look for you.
On Xbox, Perry. Come and murder me in the Crucible.
It's funny because like there's the players out there like me who's tactical by nature, right? So I got the dark camouflagey type colors. I got the black stripes or the gray digital camo for like the armor. So I'm trying not to stick out. And here you got this bright flamingo, not even flamingo, this bright neon pink Titan just barging out of nowhere like, ha-ha, here I am. And it's like a deer on a berm. It's the only thing that's there at that moment. It doesn't matter how many guardians are actually in the Crucible. At that moment, all you see is that bright fluorescent Titan just wanting to get murked. And it's the funniest thing you've ever seen.
Dawn and dusk, shoulder charge. You can see it coming, but all you're going to see is that pink blur, and then you're dead.
Oh, speaking of Dawn and Dust, they have a new pink shader out. Oh, what is it called? It's from the new DLC. I got it on my Titan. Shut up. But it's another really bright Warrior. That's
Sunrise Warrior. That is my official Crimson Days shader. We are going all Sunrise Warrior for Crimson Days. It's gonna be amazing. I can't wait.
That is a beautiful, beautiful color on a Titan. I'm sorry. Again, it's bright pink and it's obnoxious as hell. But damn, does it look good on Titan armor?
And see, that's part of the secret to playing a quality Titan is the fashion game. You can be good, you can have an amazing KD, but if your fashion is not correct, it doesn't really matter. If you're not looking good, you're not feeling good, and you need to feel good to punch hunters in the mouth. That's what they're there for. They're there for being punched in the mouth. If you're not looking good while you're doing it, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
Also, you need to have the good mindset before you can have the good KD. Because you said if you have the good KD, all this other stuff, but you don't have your armor game on point, then what are you going to do, right? But if you don't have your armor game on point, you don't feel good about yourself, and you just doubt yourself the whole time. I guarantee all those of you out there that's struggling with your KD, if you just put on the right color armor, not only will your KD improve, but I'll be seeing you in competitive. I guarantee it.
And for you hunters, finding the proper cloak is the most important.
Yeah, so we Titans can wrap it around your neck.
You gotta catch us first. There's the trick.
Everyone needs a leash.
You know what?
The best guide that I found for the Last Word quest is by Houndish. And again, that'll be linked in our show notes. We've already discussed the differences, haven't we? Or Respawn did, between console and PC.
Yeah.
I think the main thing... True Vanguard put a video out again, I'll link that in the show notes, where he discussed The Last Word on console and gave people tips on how to use it the right way, basically what you were saying, Respawn. Mm-hmm. But if you guys want to see a video, there will be one that's linked in the show notes.
Yeah. Don't look down the sights. That's the big thing on console. Don't look down the sights. Hip fire it. You're going to wreck everything.
Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. Let's get that out of the way right now. Also, if you're from the generation that grew up playing Sega, more specifically Mortal Kombat on Sega, where you had to mash the buttons really, really fast and you got that real fast trigger finger, unlike Destiny 1, there is, I don't want to call it a lag per se, but in D1, I could empty my last word in a couple of seconds, right? Just all 8 bullets gone, done, right? But in Destiny 2, it seems like if you press the trigger fast, because it says, you know, it fires as fast as you can pull the trigger, but it doesn't. I think there's a set rate of fire there because I can pull the trigger really, really fast. And it's almost like now I can pull it 2, sometimes even 3 times between shots. And it's the weirdest clunky feeling gun on console. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's my console. I don't know if it's my game. I don't know if it's me. But all I can tell you is I'll pull that trigger more than once and I'll still only fire off the one shot.
I don't know if you guys actually saw, there's been some criticism of Bungie on Reddit and in the community regarding Bungie not explaining Bungie? The Last Word quest in more detail. From what I understand, this was due to the progression on the PvP kills and deaths part and the percentage. Some people have said that it only took them a couple of matches. Others have said that it's taken 2 to 3 hours. Me personally, it took me 5 hours, but I think that was because of who I was playing with. They were higher skill. So I was joining to higher skill matches where I was just getting murdered. So my KD was going up and down. Then we found Houndish in one game, which was good fun because we just spent the entire game running around after Houndish trying to kill him, trying to get on a YouTube video. Don't know if that worked. He was using Suros Regime, actually, and I've seen a couple of videos that have been posted in the last couple of days saying that Suros kills now, but it is a very highly skilled weapon to use against hand cannons and scouts and things, but we can talk about that later. What was your take on that PvP part of it, and did Bungie convey it across, you know, quite easily to people? I thought it was, looking at the thing, but then because I watch a lot of the YouTube videos and I understand a little bit more coming from D1 of where the Thorn quest was practically the same kills, you know, increase your percentage and deaths decrease it. It was quite simple. But again, I think we're in the middle ground of, we're not YouTubers, we're not streamers, but we do consume a lot of Destiny stuff. So we read a lot of stuff on Reddit. We'll watch a lot of YouTube videos. So we're kind of balanced in the middle. So we kind of know what's going on, but then a lot of listeners probably didn't know that. And, you know, we, again, we'd like to hear from you. But what did you guys think?
Well, it's not just that we consume a lot of Destiny, right? We're all Destiny veterans. Not just D1. I'm sorry, not just D2, but also way back to D1, right? So, like, just quests like this that happen in D1 and D2, all these quests where it's like, you know, when you get killed, you move forward. When you die, you move back. Now, being a veteran, right, I inherently knew that when you get a kill, you get a higher percentage of your positive progress than the negative aspect when you get killed, right? So I think back in previous quests, it was like a kill will give you 5%, a death will take away 2 or 3. Well, in this particular case, it was a kill gives you 2% and a death takes away 1, right? So as long as your KD, people are like, oh, as long as your KD is positive, then you'll be fine, which is true. But even if your KD broke even, you're still doing all right because you're still losing half as much as you gain, right?
Yeah, so I think it just took a lot longer, which is the boat that I was in. So, you know, I think you said that you got it cleared within a couple of games, didn't you?
I did. But I mean, to be fair, I was being all scummy. I was running behind my team and I had the Jotun. So, you know, my team engages. I fire off a couple of Jotun rounds and finish them off with my what was I using? I was using the some kind of auto rifle. I don't remember what it was. I was using the blast furnace, the pulse rifle, right? So fire off a couple Jotuns, finish the rest of them off with the pulse rifle, then I die. Oops, now I got 2 more Jotun rounds. Let's do it again, right? So for me, it was really easy because the Jotun, like when you're on the ground, when you're face-to-face with an enemy on the ground, it's not that great because they can sidestep it. The thing with the Jotun is you got to jump in the air and shoot down. I don't know what it is, but it's harder for them to dodge left and right, backward and forward when it's coming down from the top than it is when it's coming straight at them. So every time I went to fire it, I jump in the air, fire it down. I don't want to say it guaranteed me a kill, but I was averaging, I don't even know, 25, 28 kills a game, something ridiculous, just using primarily the Jotun or the Jotun. I'm sorry for all those who have pronounced it wrong. But yeah, I mean, when it comes to things like that I want to get over, I'll be scummy as hell. I don't care.
Yeah. And sort of like what you were saying, that's sort of where I noticed the difference, because I played the first couple of rounds with you in a party on the UK servers, and your KD, I assume, is higher than mine, because I was noticing it was a little harder to get killed. Like you were saying, the skill level, you know, we were just in quick play, and it felt like we were in sort of like quick play competitive rank. So it was definitely a little tougher. But then once you got offline, I just loaded in solo just into a quick play round. I was noticing it was a little easier to get those kills. Again, I think the quality of my opponents had gone down a little bit. And also just I tend to be, again, the Titan. I want to rush it. I want to punch people. I want to shoulder charge. I just sat back with the bygones and the ringing nail and just sort of would clean up kills or would team shot people and just sort of sat back and said, you know, I'm gonna play conservative. I'm going to load up my Titan with my double arc grenades. I'm going to chuck those things. I'm going to throw pulse grenades everywhere, sort of fish, you know, get people out of quarters, you know, get them out in the open, and then try to clean up those kills. So I played much more conservative on the first part. And I would probably get, I don't know, between 5 and 10% a game, you know, obviously some games were better than others. Some games I got destroyed and, you know, lost all the progress I made. But yeah, I probably took about 20 or 30 games to get through. I don't know how much time it was, because over a couple of days, but it wasn't too bad. And then again, the second part, I just loaded into Mayhem, figuring I just have to kill people that killed me and, you know, get those blood for blood medals, get those, you know, medals in Mayhem. So since Mayhem was available, jump in and jump into that, because that would make it go real quick. So, yeah. No. And like what Respawn was saying, you know, I remember the Thorn quest from Destiny 1 and the component of go in and get kills. And I was definitely much worse in the Crucible in Destiny 1, partially because I didn't play as much. So I remember that being a much, you know, maybe it was a longer slog in Destiny 1. I know definitely, I mean, not that I'm a great Crucible player now. My KD is probably somewhere like, you know, 1.0, 1.1. In Destiny 1, it was more like 0.6, 0.8 on good days. So yeah. I remember that being a much longer slog through the Crucible in Destiny 1 than this was. Now this, I put a lot of hours into the Crucible. So I think it felt easier just because I played a little bit more and I sort of understood it better. But definitely some of it's just experience and just practice. It just went a little bit easier because of that, I think.
It is. And building on that, you could do what you were talking about kind of staying behind and playing safe and everything like that. But, and this is just my experience, when you do that, you actually become an easier target, because if one or two people come around the corner, you might get one, but more likely you're probably going to get team shot. So what I do, and this is, like I said, when it comes to getting things done, I'm scummy, right? I go in with a group. I almost never go in alone, right? So I go in with a group. I usually let people go in ahead of me unless I've got a shotgun, then I'll take point. But I let people go in ahead of me, and if they get killed, I come in and clean up because at that time, the enemy has used most of their ammo killing the guy or guys in front of me, and then I come in while they're reloading, clean out the room, as it were, right? So you could play it safe. That's definitely one way to do it if you're just trying to get something done. But if you want to, like, increase – like rank, or if you want to do something faster, like I got the quest done in 4 games doing what I'm saying now. Just let your teammates go in. If they survive, great. If they die, clean up the room. Everybody's better for it. It's just, it depends.
I think the
on
thing is
style,
with that is if you feel confident, try that. But if you get to the point where you're just dying constantly over and over again, I think, take a breath, sit back and just think about what you're doing, because I think that's when you get frustrated and angry about the quest and the game, and everybody's better than you at that point, and they're not. It's just, I think you're rushing it and you're just trying to take baby steps rather than like running straight head first into the next Titan kind of thing. I think that's the idea, is that you know.
What do you mean into the next Titan? Hold up. No. Don't listen to him. Shut up. Anyway, actually, Rick Kakis, I think, said it best, right? It also depends on the time. Like what you're talking about, if you're getting killed a lot, stand back, take a breath. I was watching Rick Kakis on how to, because he was talking about how to get the pinnacle weapons in the Crucible, right? And he says, if you start to feel yourself stressed, stop playing. Just stop playing. When you're angry, you're not going to play any better. But it's also the time of day. Apparently, if you're here in the U.S. and it's getting on, between 7 and 10 o'clock at night, that's about the time the people overseas are getting on, like all the really highly skilled players from Australia, the U.K., even the Asian countries, right? That's when they're starting to get on. And you're going to be playing against – I don't want to say America's not as skilled as they are, but come on. I mean, really? Point is, the time of day also matters when you're playing. If you find yourself losing, stop, play the next day at an earlier time. I can't guarantee it, but I'm highly confident in saying that you'll do better if you play earlier in the day than if you play later in the day.
And part of it is too, when you get your emotions worked up and you get, you start to get tilty, basically you're going to make worse decisions. You're going to just, sort of keep throwing something at the same problem over and over again. You're going to lose your progress. Sometimes just take a step back, go to your fridge, get yourself a cold drink, get out of the playlist you're in. Cause even though I solo queue in the Crucible a lot, or I'll be with one or two other people, and we're sort of playing duck, duck, goose on, okay, we're on the Texas servers. Now we're on the US East Coast servers. Now we're going to be on the Australian servers or the UK servers. Grab someone else in your party, have them be the lead. See if that works out better for you. And sometimes I've just gotten out of the, I sort of joke where, you win 2 or 3 games in a row and Destiny says, oh, you're doing well, let's put you into that higher bracket. Sometimes just, bring your fire team out, go visit the tower, go run a strike, go do something else, then load back into Crucible. It seems, maybe it's just my dumb luck. It's sort of been my experience that if you leave that activity and come back to it, it sort of maybe puts you back in sort of like where you belong or where you're with. And also and consider who you're with. Like, if you've got a friend who's, a PvP god, you're like, oh, I'll go in with them, it'll be great. I'll play with them and they'll help me with this.
Nope.
That could be, but it's also going to try to match you, you with your little, I'm not so great at Crucible, with your PvP god friend on the other hand, and it's going to put you into a higher bracket. So even if your best friend's a PvP god, maybe don't go in with them on this step. Go play your comp games, go play your mayhem games, because the Bungie, they take all this into consideration, and you're trying to find a happy medium between all these people. I mean, I've been in fire teams where we've got, Night Demon in the UK, I'm in the US, we've got a buddy in Australia. It's like, okay, we're on 3 continents playing on God knows how many servers, and it's trying to figure this out. It's like, sometimes you just look at Destiny and go, Destiny, you tried hard. We're going to take a step away from this because this is just not working out for us.
One of the things that I've heard in the community in the last week or so is the get good get good scrub kind of thing, comment from other content creators regarding the raids and now the last word. Well, I don't think that's fair to say to people. you know, if I know generally people are going to moan on Reddit and things about the quest and the way things are laid out by Bungie, but just other people turning around saying get good isn't a nice thing to hear, you know. I didn't know what you guys thought of that. Is, you know,
well, anything? As far as get good goes, right, there's two sides of that coin. When it comes to get good, especially when you're trying to get a pinnacle weapon or an exotic, okay, yes, you've earned it. It gives you that sense of accomplishment. Hey, I climbed these ranks. I, you know, I bled, I sweat, I cry, all that. And I got to the top. I got this weapon. And when you see other people with that weapon, you know that they did it, right? It's not just a random drop that you get in the world. You had to do a lot to get it, assuming you're not just godly, you know, born with these godly PvP abilities or whatever, right? So you know that they've had to earn it. It wasn't just given to them via a random drop or something like that. So in that aspect, I guess you could say I'm on board with the get good, right? But I'm more on the other side of the coin, right? I hate having to be forced to play PvP. Now, I don't consider myself a bad player even in the slightest, right? I would say that I'm good. I'm not pro, but I'm definitely good, right? But having to be forced to play something that I don't really like, per se, that upsets me, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, again, it is a pinnacle weapon of sorts, and you have to play it in the game mode that it's designed to play in, and you have to do, you know, so good in this game mode to earn that quote-unquote pinnacle weapon. And I get that, and I think Bungie did right. But, again, I'm one of those guys that are just like, I'm pissed. I don't want to have to play PvP to get this gun. You know, I want the gun without playing the PvP. And it's just, it sucks, you know? And so, I mean, as far as the get good, like you said, I think it's necessary because you having it is a status symbol. That's just how it is. Like when, like me, when I run around with my raid gear, with the raid colors, and, you know, I get the shader from all the, curated weapons. You know how you only get those shaders from curated weapons? Well, I've got so many, I'm starting to get doubles. So I dismantle it. I got the armor shaders and I color my weapons in armor. And people see that. People message me. They're like, oh man, cool. How did you get that or whatever? And I let them know, hey, you got to play the raid, or hey, you got to get a, you know, one of these weapons from the forge or the raid, and you dismantle it and get the shader. You know, people know, you know, at that point, hey, this guy had to do something to get this. And it's kind of a good feeling too, you know? So it is unfortunate that the get good aspect is a thing, but you kind of need it. Otherwise, they're worthless. Like, how many times have you gotten a risk runner? You're like, oh, good, another risk runner. The first time you get it, you're like, yeah, I got it. But
I think the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, you go to watch a YouTube video on how to get an item, or you'll listen to a podcast about somebody saying, you know, this is it, and I got it within like 2 or 3 hours, and I've heard people moaning about it, so get good scrub. You know, that's not what you want to hear. You want to go to that place and you want to hear them say, you know, yeah, they got it, but, you know, it's worth it if you grind it. You know, it may take you a couple of hours. You don't want that attitude from somebody saying get good scrub.
That's true.
You know, I think that's right. What my point is. There's, you want to go, you want to listen to that content creator, and you want encouragement from them. You don't want them to say get good.
You want positivity. Like, I know that's one thing. I mean, like Grenader Jake, he focused on keeping his streams real positive, and, you know, and a lot of other folks do that too. I just call him out because I know he's one that who really focuses on, hey, we're keeping this positive. You know, for one, it's a game. Yeah, you know, we're all here to play games. We all play games for different reasons. You know, the whole get good thing, it's like, part of it is, you know, if you care, you know, then practice. I know a couple of people have put out some videos. I think Kimmy Cakes and some others have been like, you know, hey, if you want to, you know, get good at Crucible, I mean, one, just practice, you know, learn the meta, you know, watch what people are doing, watch what they're doing to have success. It's like, if you don't care, you know, don't worry about it. And the thing with these pinnacle weapons, like, I remember when the Redrix Claymore, you know, that was the pinnacle weapon. Everyone was grinding for that. Right. And then what does Destiny do the next season? Say, hey, we're basically going to give you the same weapon. We're going to call it a broadsword instead. I mean, the Redrix Claymore, I did not get anywhere close to getting. I knew it was just not going to happen. But the broadsword, I was able to grind out. Like I said, I'm not a great player, but I could sit here and just, you know, it's playing a lot of Crucible. and having some success, having a lot of failure. I mean, it's just playing a lot. And if you play that much Crucible, if you play that much anything, if you play 1,000 strikes, if you play 1,000 hours of Crucible, if you do 1,000 rage, you know, you're going to get good at the thing you're enjoying. And, you know, if it's not a grind you're enjoying, don't worry about it, because that weapon is not going to be the weapon forever. You know, right now the meta, you know, the meta game is this or that or the other. It's this gun or that gun, or, you know, this is the best gun of the week. It's going to change. Bungie puts a patch in, another gun comes out, you know, people's tastes change. You know, that, that gun, that pinnacle weapon that everyone's grinding for today, 2 weeks from now, no one could be using it at all because it's just no longer good. So, I mean, these are all just trinkets we're all chasing, and sometimes it's worth it and sometimes it's just not. And if you're, I mean, if, you know, it's sort of like, if you're frustrated at the get good, I mean, you can either practice and get better, because that's all people have done, is just the people who are good, they played a lot of the game. Yeah. And if you can't, you know, you can't sit and play 10 or 20 hours of the game a week, let alone 10 or 20 hours, you know, or 10 hours every single day, like these, you know, professional streamers and folks are, you know, play the game that you enjoy. Like at the end of the day, what's the point of grinding for a weapon if you've hated every step? It's like, okay, I've got this weapon. It's going to be great. Because guess what? The next thing comes out, there's going to be another weapon. There's going to be another grind. You've got to go play your gambit matches now. You've got to go play your strikes now. You've got to go do whatever. There's always going to be something to chase. And if you don't, you know, if you consider yourself, I'm not going to get these weapons. And you know, people can say, oh, get good. That's how you get them. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, there's truth to that, but it's get good because they've gotten good. They've played and practiced and played it over and over and over and over, or they've gotten, you know, friends to grind with it.
That's why it's worth it, you know? And coming from, I guess, a hunter mentality, right? So, like you're saying, yes, people want to be encouraged. People want to be this and that and the other. But I'm in the other school, right? When somebody tells me to get good, the hunter in me is all like, oh, you want me to get good? Huh, watch this, right? And I go in, and not only do I get the same thing that they have, but I'm trying to take down everyone in my path on the way to get it, you know? So, I mean, it's also those kinds of people that it's their encouragement. They're like, get good. All right, I'm going to show you what I can do. And then I'm going to take you down a peg. You know what I'm saying? It's the real competitive people, they're the ones that get good. That hits home to them. Now, like you said, some people want to be encouraged, but other people want to be taunted. I guess. Would that be a taunt? I think that would be a taunt, right? Be taunted. Get good, scrub.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taunted, get on my motivated. Level. Get on my level, you know? And it's like, all right, I'll see you next week, you know? So, I mean, there's also that aspect. You have to – his audience is more the, you know, the professional gamers, I guess, for Rick Hackus as an example, because he's one of the people that kind of – he encourages people. But he'll also tell you, you know, in this particular case, you just got to get good. There's no way around it. You know, he didn't say it in like a challenging kind of way, but the statement was made, you know. So people like that, whenever they say that to me, that's my motivation. I'm going to get good. I'm going to show you that I can be just as good as you, homie. You're not better than me because you're a streamer or because, you know, you've been playing the game longer than I have or whatever the case may be, fill in the blank. I'm going to show you that I can do the same thing you can.
And I'm totally just going to take your word for it that people are saying this at all, because I can't say I ever dip foot into the Reddit or the Bungie forums or anything else. I pretty much live by the, you know, YouTube motto of don't read the comments. So there's loads of salt out there and there's loads of people out there. You know, I play a game to hang out with my friends and have fun. Like, people get salty and people get pissy about games. It's a game. Move on with life.
But even between
it's crappy. The people who are pissed off will just be pissed off about something new the next week.
But even between you and Night Demon over here, right? Within our own clan, you guys were having this war between you two. Like he said, he made a comment, it's not get good, but it was basically get good, right? Hey, my score is higher than yours. And you're like, oh yeah, well, I can do that too. And then you showed your score was higher than his. And then he came back with a higher score. And then you came back with a... So it was that friendly competition that started from something akin to get good. You know, like get on my level kind of thing. And that's what I'm saying. It depends on who you're talking to, right? He didn't encourage you. He said, ha, my score is higher than yours. And you're like, ha, no, it ain't. I mean, it was fun. It was fun watching you guys do it. You know, it's entertaining just watching you two go at each other like a bunch of titans.
So I don't know if you guys wanted to discuss the spoilers for the end of the quest. Would that be something that we should talk about? Or
I mean, spoilers, right? It's a hand cannon, right? We're getting a lot of hand cannons back from D1, which... I don't know why it's like a hand cannon meta or something. Why is the only guns that we're getting from D1 all hand cannons?
Well, no, right? I think it's because they want to bring a certain, they want to see if they can bring the D1 meta that was around for a very long time back into D2 to see what that would bring to the mix, I suppose.
Well, but I mean, yeah.
With spoilers, I'm talking kind of the lore spoilers. With the end of the quest, the end baddie had a proto thorn which he was using, which, you know, if you go back and speak to the Drifter, he then goes to talk to you about the person that wielded the thorn, the person that wielded the last word, and how you're playing both sides kind of thing.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, as a guardian, are you really playing both sides? You're playing your side.
Yeah.
You know, as a guardian, you're playing what's best for you. We don't pick a side. We pick the side of light, right? We're not trying to conquer planets. We're not trying to invade people. We're just trying to protect our way of life. And if protecting our way of life is, like you said, playing both sides, even though you're not, there was a gun, you wanted the gun, right? Now, I know lore-wise, they're, like you're saying, lore-wise, it's different. But as a guardian, we are hard-coded, and this is actually in the lore. Guardians are hard-coded to go out and get loot. Guardians will scour the universe to find bigger, better weapons. It's hard-coded when we get resurrected as a guardian. That's just what we do. And this was just a means to an end. You know what I mean? That's all this was. And as far as spoilers go, hell yeah, I want spoilers, dude. Hell yeah. Anybody that has done, or actually in this case hasn't done, the Last Word quest by now, for whatever reason, don't have time, whatever. At the end of it, I mean, part of it is you get the helmet with the weird-looking bullet. And anybody that's played Destiny 1 knows that bullet comes from a weapon called the Thorn. Now, the Thorn has mixed feelings in D1 because it was phenomenal in the Crucible when it first came out. You could two-shot a Guardian. Two, right?
Yeah, but why could you two-tap a Guardian?
I'm getting to it. You could two-tap them because it wasn't so much the impact of the weapon that did it, but it had like a poison effect. It had a damage over time effect. So not only could you do hella damage to a Guardian with that shot, but it would also poison him. And when you're poisoned, your shield does not regen. You're out of the fight. Unless you're a warlock and you have a rift or something, right? You're out of the fight because you're getting that tick damage. And that second shot just straight up kills people. The second shot can be a body shot, if I remember correctly, right? One headshot, one body shot, they're dead, right?
Yeah, and I think on Trials, it was, you know, you two-tap, throw a grenade, firebolt grenade, and that's it. You've killed two people.
Yeah, exactly.
At that point, you've effectively wiped out more than half the team.
But that was the pre-nerf, right?
Yeah.
Because it was such a good gun and nobody was using anything but that gun, they nerfed it. And they nerfed it badly. Because I remember I didn't get the gun till after the nerf. And I was like, yeah, I finally got the Thorn. And everyone's like, oh, it was nerfed like, you know, months ago or whatever. I'm like, it doesn't matter. I got it. Right. And then, oh my God, was it nerfed? I could get like 3 headshots and they would still be alive. You know, eventually the poison would kill them, but I'd have to tap 3 headshots to kill him. With the poison damage on top of that, as opposed to one headshot, one body shot would do it pre-nerf. So yeah. I guess the question is, which one are they bringing to Destiny 2? Pre-nerf or post-nerf?
Some it combination depends, doesn't it? Of there.
I mean, it's definitely going to be coming combination. In season of the Drifter. So
yeah, I mean, I think they're going to look at where the other hand cannons are. And, you know, because again, you know, they're trying to make the exotics special because, you know, there was that time for a while where it's like, oh, I got an exotic. It's like, well, yeah, but I'm still going back to my trusty Bygones or my trusty Better Devils or whatever. So, you know, for it to compete, you know, with all the other exotics and to live up to being an exotic weapon, it's got to have something. I mean, maybe it's a damage over time thing. Maybe it's the, you know, you're going to get that poison damage and that's going to be, you know, maybe it'll still take 3 or 4 kill, you know, shots to kill someone, but you'll get that damage over time. And maybe they'll, you know, sort of that bleed out effect. You'll get more of that, and that'll be its perk. You know, I'm curious to see where they sort of land on the spectrum with that.
Or it could be just something else entirely, because for the last word, it's not the same last word we got in D1. Yeah, that makes me wonder, is it going to be the same Thorn? Are we looking at pre and post Thorn, or are we looking at a completely different Thorn? Because for a while, they were even saying that we're not even going to get the Thorn. We're going to get something called the Rose. And the Thorn is a step down from the Rose. You see what I'm saying? Like the Rose is top tier and then you got the Thorn under there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So people for a long time were saying
it could be the Rose, couldn't it?
It could be.
And that's why they could get away with making a different style kind of gun.
Yeah, a different gun with, I mean, that's the thing too, is they're gonna put a, you know, you know, there, I would hope, are going to learn from their mistakes. They're going to say, hey, you know, we put this game, this gun into the game before, and here's what happened. So, you know, we're going to put this gun into the game again. We're going to learn from our mistakes and say, you know, we're going to make it powerful, but not powerful to the fact, to the point where everyone's using it. And the other question is, you know, when does Trials come back? Because obviously, you know, there's the comp meta and there's a competitive, but Trials is the pinnacle of that. That's where, you know, that's where the streamers are making their money and people are getting carries and begging for carries. That's where it's really going to be a, if Trials comes back, you know, with that Season of the Drifter and the Rose of the Thorn, the, you know, whatever the gun comes back, whatever form it takes, how is that going to fit into that world? Because is it going to be, hey, you play competitive, this is the only gun you use, or is it going to be a little more balanced, or, you know, perfect in those certain situations, but not your, maybe not your go-to weapon. I'll be really curious to see what they do with it and how they roll it out and what exactly it is when we get it.
Well, if you look at the lore, right? If you look at the lore and then you look at a lot of people's different interpretations of the lore of the Rose, right? So you know how the Thorn hit him, did damage over time, right? Well, the Rose, I'm going to have to see if I can't find a link because I need to really look up on this. But in my brain, I want to say that when the Rose hits, you get a damage over time like the Thorn. It's not going to be as strong as the pre-nerf Thorn. But just like the bow we got from the Forge, it's also going to have an AoE effect. And it's going to be solar-based, right? So it's going to be a solar-based poison AoE effect hand cannon. That's going to be nutty. You know?
Yeah. And this is, I haven't had a chance yet to watch, but I assume this is a good point to time to throw in there, you know, Bife's, you know, 90 minute long Thorn epic that he made that we'll put a link to in the show notes, but I haven't had a chance to watch yet. It's been open in a tab all week, but I don't know if you guys have had a chance to watch it. I'm assuming that's where you're getting some of this from. And I assume he covers some or all of this there. Yeah, he literally put out, it's the last word in Thorn, the complete story. It's 1 hour and 25 minutes and 3 seconds that he has been working on for a while. So, like I said, I've got it here in the tab. It's ready. I need to sit down and get my popcorn out and watch this. He's a good compliment to Mylan Games, because I found Bife before I found Mylan Games, and we'll link both of them in the show notes. It's nice also getting the competing Australian and British accents in your lore. But they both put out really interesting stories and really interesting day. He also did a recent, I think it was Bife who did the recent three video take on sort of the history of the Drifter and where he comes from and sort of his backstory.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
Oh my God.
Leading into our season of the Drifter.
Whoo. The Drifter, he's a bad, bad man. Not like evil. I don't think he's evil, but he's seen some stuff. That dude. Whoo! So, like, when we get the last word and he's sitting there calling us a punk, initially I was like, who are you calling a punk? And then, like, I had a flashback to all the stuff he's seen and done. I'm like, you know what? I'm good. I'm okay, man. I don't know what you got in your bag of tricks. I'm going to leave you be. You know what I mean?
I didn't know if everybody else knew about this because I'd completely forgotten about this. But back in September, Bungie had launched a brand new reward program called Bungie Rewards. And it was built into the game and it linked to your account and the Bungie store. And they gave you more ways to celebrate and commemorate and show off in-game accomplishments. And they say that the program's going to continue in 2019. And when you first completed, I think it was the campaign initially, if you'd signed up for these Bungie rewards, you could go onto the Bungie store website and you could download the Forsaken, I think it was, soundtrack for free. And then they started bringing out other things. And it wasn't until I was kind of researching about the last word for the podcast that I came across the link for the Bungie store. And if you've completed the last word quest, you can now go onto the Bungie Rewards and you can get a Last Word long sleeve t-shirt, which looks really cool, and a Last Word replica hand cannon. And as long as you've completed it between January and March and you sign up and you redeem your code, you'll be able to purchase those from the Bungie store. We'll have a link in the show notes for that. But I didn't know if you guys knew about that, because I'd completely forgotten about they were doing these things. And again, if you do the seals for your Guardian, so if you've got Dredgen or if you've got Wayfarer and things like that, you can go onto the Bungie store and they've got little pins made up that you can they've come in a little presentation box for you to purchase as well. So as long as you've unlocked certain things in the game, you'll be able to purchase those, but they are a limited time period, because I think you could get the Lunar's Howl at a couple of months back, and yeah. before that, I think one of our clan members bought a Thunderlord t-shirt. If you unlock Thunderlord via the yep. quest, you could buy a t-shirt. So again, yes, they're doing that for the last word.
I remembered it, Link, because I guess, you know, I got emails from them about it, because yep. that's otherwise I completely that's how I learned I could get the soundtrack. So I went and downloaded the soundtrack for free. I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then they had the Ace of Spades replica, the Ace of Spades shirt, the Lunar's Howl, which I don't have and will never have. They've got the example of the Last Wish raid jacket up there, if you were one of the world's first for that, getting through that in 24 hours. But I think this is a really cool idea. Like, none of these have jumped out at me. I mean, the Last Word shirt is really nice. I just don't wear long sleeve t-shirts, but I love this idea. I love being able to go, you know, partially as just, you know, hey, Bungie has to make money off the game. You know, I pay my $60 for the game. I pay my, you know, my annual pass. You know, I'm not going to sit here and buy silver in the game to buy in-game trinkets from Tess Everest, but I love the fact that, you know, I can go buy shirts. I could go, if I really cared that much, you know, go buy replicas of things. I love the fact that they're doing this both just as rewards that are tied in-game. You know, you go work and you earn that Curse Breaker seal and that Chronicle seal, and you're like, I'm going to get one of those beautiful gold seal pins. I'm going to grab that. I love that it's something they're doing where you can commemorate your accomplishment in the game in real life, and also as a revenue stream that's not, oh, buy this loot box. So I love it from both of those aspects. But yeah, I have to remember it exists too, so I'm glad they email periodically about it.
Yeah, there's that. And it's a really cool thing that they do. Don't get me wrong. There are people out there that collect these kinds of things, like a lot of people. Even Milan Games, if you look behind him, he's got some replicas behind him of like the Titan Hammer and everything like that, right? If you look in, well, I don't know if you've watched him, but if you look behind him, he's got a shelf and he's got all kinds of Destiny memorabilia and whatnot. It's pretty cool if you collect that kind of thing. And it's really awesome that Bungie does that. Now, what I think is funny is, have you seen like the stuff that we're not allowed to buy because like we weren't the world's first or whatever, right? Like the jacket, I think is what, $99 million or $999,000? It's some hugely arbitrary cost. Right.
That's because you didn't get the code.
Exactly.
Right. Lots of them done it. You know, that's, you know, I've got the that year one blue shirt that they did for doing the Age of Triumph. And I'm Bungie. I'm still a little irritated because I finished my year two Triumph and I got the stupid token for the code, but then it never actually unlocked on the website. And by the time I tried to figure it out, it's still in my inventory, but I couldn't ever get the shirt. And I wasn't paying my $700 for it. But I like the fact that it works. I hate the fact when it doesn't actually work.
Yeah.
I was going to say, moving on.
Yeah.
Because we've got Crimson's Ace to talk about. I know Bungie only mentioned it in the This Week at Bungie, but it's coming soon. And it was originally scheduled to start on the 5th of February, but they've shifted that date back. So we're only going to get it for a week, unfortunately. Scheduled to be for 2 weeks, but hey ho, we'll have to deal with just 1 week.
Wait, really? They're not giving you the 2 weeks?
It was going to be 2 weeks.
But I want to play Keep Away with other Guardians for 2 weeks.
Right.
No, it's only going to be from the February the 12th to the 19th. And Bungie say that if you've missed out on Crimson Day rewards last year, don't worry. They'll put them back in the loot pool for you this year.
You can have a sparrow that spews hearts everywhere.
I love my exotic
with your Sunrise Warrior shader. Put it on everything. It's gonna be incredible. I'm telling you now. That's the new fashion meta.
And the exotic version of that sparrow. And you know what? They're both badass.
Pink is the new meta. I'm telling you now.
You wear pink, you'll do better in Crucible. Coming straight from the mouth of Parody.
Absolutely. It adds 0.6 KD when you rock a pink shader. I'm telling you now. Grab your auto rifle, grab your pink shader. It's done.
It's a hidden bug, right? If you wear pink, half your deaths don't count, right?
Yeah. they say that the event is very similar to last year, but they've added some more rewards for us to obtain. And they were going to give us more details closer to the special day, but as per usual, the data miners have allegedly found an image relating to the upcoming event. Which basically says that love is in the air. Crimson Day is a celebration of friendship, togetherness, and love. Returns to the tower. Suit up for your Crimson Bond. Find your Crimson Bond and then speak to Lord Shaxx. Start off the celebration. Shaxx is off 650 power legendary bow to anyone able to prove their perfect union in the Crucible. Stay sweet. You and your bond can collect confectionery hearts by completing Crimson Bounties and Crimson Day matches, and use these sweet treats to earn rewards and celebrate Crimson Days in style. Get together, sync up with your friends to complete challenges, new triumphs, and your ghost, a unique sugary shell. Fill the love with double engrams and one crimson engram and one Season of the Forge etched engram with every level up past the max level during Crimson Days.
All right, so how does the Crimson... They're bringing Crimson Doubles back, which everybody should be excited about, even if you hate Crucible. Crimson Doubles works like this. You've got two Guardians, you and your new BFF, rocking your Sunrise Warrior or your Dusk and Dawn Shaders. Very important. Got to look at together.
You have to match, though. You both have to have the same one.
You have to stay in close proximity with your partner. And as you stay in close proximity, all your abilities recharge faster. If you stray too far away, not only do you lose that recharge factor, also the enemy team is given your location on the map. Stick together. What you're going to want to do, and there is matchmaking in place, but come on, it's doubles. If you can't find one other person in your clan, in your LFG, in this podcast, find one friend. What you're going to want to do is grab your buddy. You're going to grab your Titan with your double grenades. You're going to find the heavy on the map. You're not going to touch the heavy. You're going to pile grenades on top of the heavy. You've got four grenades between the two of you. It's a game of keep away. Even if you hate Crucible, turn it into a game of keep away. You will laugh your heads off. My buddy Panoramix18 and I did this last year. We never picked up heavy. We just kept the other team from it and laughed at all the times they ran in to grab the heavy, and we just bombarded them with grenades. It's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. I am stoked they're bringing Crimson Doubles back this year.
So is it going to be you and Pan again, or are you going to go with Night Demon over here?
This is one of the few things I can drag Pan into the Crucible for. Mayhem and Crimson Doubles. So nice. We are going to get our beautiful looking Guardians together, our amazing Titans with our matching shaders and matching loadout. It's going to be amazing.
So I mean, last year it was on the Burning Shrine map, wasn't it, from the original Destiny 2? I think it was just on that map all the time, wasn't it?
I don't know. I didn't play. That's a question for parody.
I think it was. I think it was round based with a twist, and it took place on the darkened version of Burning Shrine.
Right. Yeah, it's a Burning Shrine map, but it was a darker version of it. And yeah, I think you're right. It was the same map every time. So again, heavy spawns in the same place every single time. Run to the middle, throw grenades. It's gonna be amazing.
FYI, if you are trying to get heavy and you keep getting grenaded, now you know who's doing it.
Yeah.
Now you know. Don't go for the heavy. Walk around and flank the Titans from the back. But go with a friend, because again, if you stray too far from your buddy, you're going to get marked on the waypoint of the map, and then you're going to get murdered one by one. And I think I know when I can't remember if what the buff was called, but I know if one of you died, it would sort of like overpower the second person, sort of give you, I think it was like an overshield or increase your reload or maybe all of the above. If your teammate dies, it sort of makes you a little more powerful. And then there's a whole bunch of, you know, triumphs and things to get with that as well. So who doesn't love triumphs?
Yeah, there are several new triumphs listed in the Destiny 2 database. So you've got Labor of Love, which is complete a Crimson Days triumph, and you've got to complete 9 of those. I'm With You, complete Crimson Day matches, and you've got to complete 22 of those. Home Wrecker. As a fire team, defeat Guardians while they're affected by the reunited buff. May be completed only within the Crimson Days playlist, and you've got to kill 77 opponents. Heartless. As a fire team, defeat Guardians while they seek vengeance for their fallen. Again, has to be completed in the Crimson Day playlist, 77 of those. You've got Looking for Love, which is just complete 11 bounties for Crimson Days.
In your amazing shaders.
Yeah. Love Conquers All, you just got to get 11 wins. Divide and Conquer, as a fire team, defeat Guardians separated from their partners. Again, it has to be completed in the Crimson Days playlist. That may be hard if everybody's sticking together. Again, 77 of those. Love Avenged, earn a Blood for Blood medal by avenging your fallen ally. Again, got to complete in the Crimson Days playlist, but you've only got to get 2 of those medals,
which if you've done your last word, you should be an expert at this point.
For real, right? Jeez.
2 to Tango, which is complete a Nightfall in a fire team of 2. And then the last one is Heart's Desire. You've got to collect Crimson Day rewards by offered by Shax during 2019. And I've got a list of them here. There's the Tirashella Ghost Shell, the Undeterred Exotic Sparrow, the Vow, which is the Legendary Bow, the Diesel Punk Exotic Ornament for the Wardcliffe Call, and the Flaunting Dance. And then there's three other bounties which are classified at the moment. Again, we'll have the link in the show notes for those. So for the Heart's Desire bounty, you may have already earned the items from last year's five rewards, which could be earned by completing following objectives. So last year, again, we had very similar things, didn't we? You had to complete milestones. So you had to complete Welcome to Crimson Days by finishing five Crimson Day matches. And if you visited Lord Shax in the tower, he would give you the Tirashella Ghost Shell. Complete matches in Crimson Days Crucible playlist for a chance to earn the Undeterred Exotic Sparrow. If you completed the Leviathan raid or the raid layers, you got the Diesel Punk exotic ornament from the last chest. And if you completed a Nightfall Strike, you got the Flaunting Dance. So you may have already got some of those from last year. Again, they're back in the loot pool. And then we've got all of last year's loot pool returning this year. So you've got your Go About Your Business ornament for the Sweet Business. You've got the Propulsive, Propulsive Heart Shell, the True Confers Shell, the Radiant Sunflake Shell, the Crimson Valor Shader, which is Parody's favourite, Crimson Passion Shader, another one of Parody's favourites.
Both excellent pink shaders.
You've got the Garland Shell, the Entwined Heart Shell, the Amour Lideur Shell, Electric Heart Shell, the Heartbreak Sparrow, the Battle Heart Sparrow, the Last Love Sparrow, First Love Sparrow, the Amour Dance, the Vengeful Dance. You've got the Heart Sign Emote, the Undefeated Sparrow, which is exotic, Carrying Nebula Ornament for the Graviton Lance, and the Prism Ornament for the Prometheus Lens. So those are all back in the loophole. And then you've got the new reward, which is the legendary solar bow, the Vow. It's a lightweight frame, so you can draw quickly and move faster while this weapon is equipped. It's got polymer strings, so it's unbreakable bow strings, slightly increases accuracy, faster draw time. Natural flexing, which is feather light with good control, slightly decreases accuracy, but it greatly increases stability. And then you've got the rapid hit on there, so as long as you're getting rapid hits on somebody, it increases the stability and the reload of your next arrow. And you've got Archer's Tempo, which is the draw time decrease after every precision hit. And there's a Shot Through the Heart ornament, which is also available, but I'm not 100% sure whether this is just from Eververse, because it's included in one of the Eververse bundles.
Let's not forget the Masterwork. It comes with a Masterwork for draw time. And all you hunters out there that have the Oathkeeper like me and can appreciate a good bow, this might not be, you know, it doesn't have all the fancy explosive rounds or, you know, dragonfly or anything like that. But what it does have is phenomenal single target damage with the faster draw times and the precision hits. It's also got really, really good stats for a legendary bow. By really, really good, I mean it's on par with the other legendary bows. It might be slightly better with the impact. But other than that, honestly, really great bow, especially if you have the Oath Keepers. It'll tear a boss apart, guarantee it.
We've got another exotic ghost shell, the Sugary Shell. So this is similar to Destiny 1, where you could get, there was a pink ghost shell and a chocolate covered ghost shell. So this is, I think, the chocolate covered version for Destiny 2. And it's got Guiding Light, so all the XP gains are increased by 10%. Omni Telemetry, which is the generate gunsmith telemetry data on any elemental weapon kill. Crucible Scanner, chance to obtain additional faction consumables while in the Crucible. We've also got a Legendary Sparrow, the Heartbreaker. Eververse will also be selling bundles. They're listed as Fives a Party, so you can buy five Crimson Engrams. Dress to Thrill Bundle, which is a Legendary Ornament Shot Through the Heart for the Vow, and a Fireteam Medallion. Loneliest Number Bundle, you get one Crimson Engram. Lovestruck Bungle, which is the Tiny Bow Exotic Emote. Crimson Passion Shader, which is a new one, I think. And the Fireteam Medallion. And then Three's a Crowd, which is three Crimson Engrams. And Lord Shax will be giving out daily bounties and one weekly.
So all you hunters out there, you can have your new fancy bow and your tiny exotic bow emote just to make sure you've confessed your proper love for the bow. And also grab your delightful heart sign emote, because nothing is better once you've played keep away from the enemy team than just send them hearts and love. Because it's all about good feelings here in Destiny 2 land.
Okay, first of all, smart Alec, let me tell you something. Remember that electric bow that the
Trinity Ghoul?
Thank you. That one, the Trinity Ghoul. Whenever I first got that dropped and I was all excited, you're like, oh, that bow is crap. And then we did a strike and I had, what, 130 more kills than you only using the bow? Don't underestimate a good bow, everybody. Everybody gives bows crap, but I'm telling you, you know how to use a bow, you will do better than any gun, especially since, oh, I don't know, you never have to reload and it's ridiculous single shot damage. Get out of here, man.
That's why I'm saying you need your tiny bow emote for those moments after you've destroyed the boss with your amazing bow. Then you can use your tiny bow emote. You can be all bows all the time.
Hunters, don't get me wrong, love a hunter. But you know what? Some warlocks need love too. And for all of the intelligent titans out there that can appreciate a good bow, those guys as well. Don't just point at us hunters.
Are those like Hulk in his Bruce Banner form? Is that how the intelligent titan works?
You know what? You're not far off. I'll have to look into that. I'll get back to you.
So we've got some we've got one weekly bounty that we have to collect from Shax, and then we've got daily bounties. So the weekly bounty is tied to one of the triumphs. So
we've got Tango Triumph.
Yes, that was it. The two for Tango Triumph.
Complete a nightfall with only two people.
Yeah.
Also, the daily, I don't think we need a list every single daily is for the podcast, because people aren't going to care what they're for. The weekly, I could get that. Yeah, the weekly is for that, but all the dailies?
No, we should list the dailies.
All right. Go ahead.
Nobody cares about the dailies.
They do. These dailies are on a, they'll probably be on a rotated basis, so there'll be different ones each day, and you might care. So you've got separation anxiety as a fire team defeat enemies separate from their partner. Heartbreaker. As a fireteam, defeat enemies seeking revenge. Splitsville, as a fireteam, defeat reunited enemies. Double duty, defeat enemies in Crimson Day playlists. Plus one, complete matches of Crimson Days. Loved and lost, loot a lost sector as a fireteam of two. Two's company, so complete an adventure in a fireteam of two. Love story, complete a story mission in a fireteam of two. Displays of affection, complete a public event in a fireteam of two. Power of Love, rapidly defeat multiple enemies, combatants without reloading. Bear Hug, defeat enemies with melee blows. Heat of the Moment, defeating enemies with solar damage. Share the Love, which is generating orbs. Playing Cupid, defeat enemies with a bow. And Matchmaker, complete any match made activity. So Bungie are now kind of incorporating, rather than just being Crucible, you can now go and do like your normal PvE events and still earn rewards for that.
Yeah, and then there's also some new medals available. We're going to have some sweet, sweet polyamory. In a single round, both you and your opponent must land one final blow with a kinetic, energy, and power weapon. Broken up as a pair, defeat both your opponents within 3 seconds while they're separated from each other, which, if my experience last year is anything to go on, people load in the matchmaking. Is two of them. They run off in opposite directions. They're both easy pickings, especially when you got your grenades ready. Next new medal, Third Wheel. Rapidly defeat your opponents when your partner is down. And Heartbreaker, win a sudden death match.
So, and it also looks like we have similar consumables like we had with the Dawning. So, whereas we'd have to go around and defeat enemies and get the drops to then put into the oven, to then bake the cookies, to then take back to other people, we now just get confectionery hearts. And you can get those from acquiring from the bounties, as well as matches completed within the Crimson Days playlist. And you go and turn these into Shax for warm-hearted gifts. So the extra confectionery hearts, donate them to Lord Shax and for the event, and he will give you a random reward. So you get a chance to earn enhancement cores, mods, weapons, gear, and resources. So that's good. So if anybody's saving up for the next expansion, or you just want to help, you know, level up your weapons and things like that, this would be the best place to do it this week, because you could generate a hell of a lot of stuff by just playing the game. As I remember with the Dawning event, I didn't get a chance to play those 3 weeks that much, but a lot of people generated a lot of mods and enhancement cores from that. Yeah, we'll have a link to the show notes. I'm excited
about that. Yeah, this is going to be a good way to get enhancement cores. I am very excited about that because I got a bunch of those during the dawning, just baking cakes for people and things.
Right.
Because that's something, you know, whereas I sit at like legendary shirt, you know, Glimmer, I've got piles of them. I've got it stuff stuck away in the bank for, you know, when my Guardian's old and gray. I tend to sit like through no real effort of my own. I tend to sit at about the exact same number of legendary shards week in and week out. But enhancement cores, I don't use them. I've masterworked maybe a half dozen weapons ever at this point, and I just don't use them. I try to, you know, get like weapons to infuse. So this is a good source of enhancement cores. I'm all for it because that's something this game is desperately lacking right now.
What? Dude, you need to masterwork your weapons, especially if you're running builds like me and you that depend heavily on how fast you can get your super back. Because like for my Warlock, right? If I masterwork my Void heavy weapon and my Void secondary weapon, and I'm running, well, actually, it doesn't matter what build I'm running, but as long as I have two Void weapons that are masterworked and I'm wearing the helmet, the exotic helmet that gives you your super back when you get Void damage kills, right? If you wear that, honestly, the weapon itself paired with the orbs that I'm dropping, I get my super back less than a minute. I spam supers when I'm on my Warlock. It is ridiculous. And especially with the new Titan changes to your super, where you can make your super last longer when you kill enemies, the more orbs you can generate between your supers to help you get that super back, it's going to be phenomenal, man. You really need to masterwork your items.
And I would love to if I had an enhancement course to do it. I think at this point, I've basically masterworked my Bygones, my Ringing Nail, and then my Bad Omens. And that's about all that I think everything else I have masterworked dropped masterworked for me or is, you know, an exotic weapon. If I had the cores, I would go do it. I go to the Tangled Shore almost every day and buy 2 to 3 enhancement cores, and I pop those. I think the finest matter weaves, the one that'll drop, you know, one enhancement core after killing a powerful enemy. And even then I just run out of them, you know, trying to level things up. I've used most of them.
It's because you're missing out
on gear.
Each week you can make a minimum doing nothing else except spider balance. You can make a minimum of 15 a week, 5 on each character. If you look at the bottom row right next to the exotic bounty that he's got, each one of those drops a core for you. So 5 per character, that's 15 cores a week minimum doing nothing else in the game.
There's a time where I'm not going to put that time commitment into running those. I get that they're there. To be honest, I play 1.5 characters. I play the Titan, the Warlock is sort of the fling on the side, and the Hunter, I'm basically just playing to get the Triumphs unlocked for, like, finishing the Hunter class. In a given week, again, because there's so much to do in this game, I don't get to the other two characters unless I'm trying to complete something specific, or if I'm running with, you know, with Pan or with somebody else trying to get someone through, you know, something that another character needs to do anyway. So, yeah, it's like there's a way to get them, but even then, that's a big time commitment to go, especially hunting down the one enemies that spawn randomly for one core. It's like that is not worth the time commitment.
Okay, at the very least, you can get a guaranteed 3 per character because 3 of them are in lost sectors.
I can go buy 3 of them from Spider and get them just as quick. But yeah, I get what you're saying. There is a way to do it, but just my enjoyment of the game versus the reward from the game, that's not worth the time commitment to be just sit here and go do those every time.
Also, as someone that's been playing with you for years, I had no idea that you even had a Warlock and a Hunter. No clue. I've never seen you use anything but a Titan.
That's what I'm saying. In Destiny 1, I basically didn't have any other characters. I made like a Warlock right at the end, and then a Hunter like the day before the game basically became Destiny 2.
Wow.
Yeah, I have 3 characters, but you would never notice. When I say Titan main, I am a true Titan main. The other characters exist, but they're really just there for fun. Really, it's there so I can throw Nova Bombs and Mayhem. That's why the Warlock exists.
I'm telling you, you're missing out on a whole ridiculousness of stuff you can do with a Hunter. Not just orb generating all of the things for yourself and your buddies, right? Near infinite supers. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
well, see, to give you an idea, time wasted on Destiny, I have played 674 hours as a Titan, 269 hours as a Warlock, Jesus. And 64 hours as a Hunter.
You're done. You're absolutely done.
So,
play more Hunter.
There are two other characters. They don't really exist, though.
Play more Hunter. Titans are bad for your health, man. Take it from me, right? I'm only on here to do the weeklies, and that's it, right? Play more Hunter. They're fun. They do more boss damage than any other class, especially with the new buffs. I mean, come on, right?
Yeah, we'll have to get into those.
Yeah.
But for anybody that does care, we'll have links to the show notes for the Crimson Day rewards. I found a good video by Houndish for last year's. He did a good breakdown. So if anybody wants to see what they actually look like, and this year's info by Mesa Sean. And then if you wanted to look at the stuff on the database, light.gg has got all the info if you're into looking at the actual info. So I'll put those links in the show notes. So moving on, we've got sandbox updates, update 2.1.4. I don't know if you guys actually want to go into this in depth because we're not exactly, you know, crucible scientists, but
I'm not going to go in depth, but I am going to talk about my hunter class. You better damn go on, then. Believe it.
You talk to us about hunter.
All right. So check it out. Going back to what I was just talking about. Nice little segue, by the way, me. Ha ha. Anyway, so hunters. Oh, my God. The buffs are bonkers. Let's start with the golden gun, for example, just showing how much better than we are than Titans. If there's Titans out there listening. Well, I'm sorry. You're a Titan main. Just that's all there is to. Anyway, moving on. So the golden gun, an extra 40% damage to bosses. 40%. We were already doing the most damage. Now we're doing the most damage again. That's all there is to it. And that's not just the Celestial Nighthawk. That's also for the six shooter, which also comes into play, right? Because now with the six shooter, you get another buff. Not only do you get a damage buff, but you get another buff. Every time you kill an enemy, you get another round for your golden gun within the allotted timer up to 12 shots. I'm sorry, what? Is there any other reason to play any other class? Come on now. And getting into slight details, right? The Golden Gun 6 shooter got another damage buff on top of the 40% because each one of their base bullets damage go from 275 to 300 per shot. So the 6 shooter got two damage buffs and a lot bigger magazine. Do Titans have that? You know what? I don't think so. I don't think that you do. And you know why you don't? Because you're not hunters. And what are hunters? The master race, everybody. Hunters are the master race of Destiny. There's nothing that's good.
Hunters are fodder for the Titan with the armamentarium and auto rifles.
Keep talking smack. So in addition to that, you got the line 'em up perk, right? Everybody knows what the line 'em up perk is. Basically, whenever you get precision damage, it doubles the damage per stack on the buff. So that's been buffed a little bit. I don't have the details, but just know you do more damage. That's all that matters. Practice makes perfect. Now you get 5 stacks instead of 3. And the super modifier, the speed at which your super recharges, has now increased to 20%. So between using your Celestials, you get it back even faster. My God, is there no end to this? Guess what? Nope. Because now we got the Blade Barrage. We did get kind of a nerf with the Blade Barrage. So sorry for everybody out there that means that these days. The knife attack, the one that was one-shotting, you know, everything, has been drastically reduced from 150 per blade to 35 per blade. However, if your enemy is silly enough to stay in that location, the explosion damage has gone from 150 per blade to 250 per blade. Big downside? No more casting it inside of hallways because you can and will kill yourself. This isn't a suggestion. This is a promise. You're going to die if you use it in a tunnel. Don't do it. And that's basically about it. I mean, the Night Stalker has some minor buffs, like you can fire the arrow a little bit quicker. You know, the Mobius Quiver, there's a slight increase to the damage, and now the damage is actually applied on hit instead of stackable. You know, just slightly. Come on. I mean, anybody, if you're going to use the Void subclass, everybody knows you're going to be using either the Spectral Blades or the, oh my God, I can't think of the name. I feel like such a bad hunter right now. The one where you just tether a bunch of enemies, get your super right back. That's it, right? That's all we care about. Get the super right back, kill enemies, tether a bunch of people. Is that it? Arc Strider, Okay, the Arc Strider did get a buff. Your heavy ranged and your slam attack has increased from 220 damage to 300. And your heavy palm attack almost doubled the damage. So that's, if you don't know, that's the third hit of your staff attack. That has gone from 400 damage to 700. It's almost doubled the damage. And that damage also stacks with your Radiant Flux. However, the Radiant Flux, in order to accommodate for this, has actually decreased the damage modifier bonus that you get from 20% to 13.5. In the end, you still get the same amount of extra damage, but because of how it calculates the damage, they had to decrease the damage buff from the Radiant Flux, because then it would just be way too overpowered. I mean, we're hunters. We're used to being overpowered anyway, right? Doesn't matter. That's what Bungie decided they wanted to do. That's how it is. And I'm pretty sure that covers all the Hunter stuff. Let's go to the Titans.
The I'm going to stand here and just smash things class, because now with your Sunbreaker, your Sunspots, they've doubled the damage from 25 a tick to 50 a tick, which is going to melt Guardians, melt Dads. It's going to be good times. Your Sun Warrior perk. Now it increases all your damage with your from any output from your Sunbreaker, 20% in PvP, 25% in PvE, and the buff duration has been increased from 3 seconds to 5 seconds. So more damage over a greater amount of time. Your Burning Maul, when you need to bring that big hammer in to lay the smackdown on someone, your spin melee attack is going from 65 a hit to 80 a hit, so you do a little more damage getting to people. Your detonation radius is from 5 meters to 6 meters. So when you bring that hammer down, it's going to reach out a little longer. And one thing I honestly didn't know, because they just buffed it and fixed it, it looks like, when you bring that big hammer down, it sends that line of fire out. It's now going to actually track the thing you're trying to kill. So when you're bringing it down in PvP, it's going to track those guardians. When you're bringing it down, like I love using it in Gambit, in a mob of people, it's going to go after that primeval. It's going to go after those bosses. As opposed to just being sort of a straight line of fire damage, it's now sort of going to track them. Your Sentinel Titans, your final melee combo is going from 300 damage to 390 damage when you bring that shield down on them. You're also getting the PvE impact increase, or I'm sorry, damage increase by 17% when you bring that shield super down. But the most important, again, your Striker Titans with your dual grenades, you've got your heavy slam. We're going to take that damage. Your base damage is actually going to go down from 325 to 275, and your damage to base elite and mini boss combatants, we're going to buff that up another 7%. Damage to bosses goes up 23%. Damage to vehicles up 60%. So if anyone's here with a Sparrow, they're done. But the more fun with the Fist of Havoc is now we're going to get some distance. Now is when you're going to go back to Artifact's Edge on Nessus, because the higher you are when you use that super, the more damage, the more pain you're going to rain down on people. We've got now tiers of damage. So at each tier, you're going to get more hits of damage as it goes. And they've added a third tier. So on your first tier, you're going to get 4 hits. That's basically, I'm going to jump up, bring my Fist of Havoc down. I'm getting 4 hits on the aftershocks. Tier 2, I get 8 hits. Tier 3, I get 12 hits. I want to go to Artifact's Edge. I want to jump off the top, bring that Fist of Havoc down, and just get the lovely 12 hits of damage going. And you're also getting a buff on each hit you've gotten from 100 to 112. So you're going to do more damage in a greater range the higher you jump and the higher you're able to launch your supers from. So I can't wait to see the videos of people jumping off ridiculous heights or being dropped from servitors, bringing Fist of Havocs down all over the place. Your Code of the Juggernaut, your Fist of Havoc shoulder charge, they've reduced that cost by 83%. So instead of bringing that big Fist of Havoc down, now you can shoulder charge people. Whereas before you could get maybe 4 or 5 shoulder charges in to do some damage. Now you can chain like 15 or 16 shoulder charges. So again, if you're in Gambit, if you're in Crucible, if you're in a target-rich environment, you can chain that super over and over and over again and run people over. And you've now gotten your Trample perk, which is going to trigger some energy return every half a second, which is up from 1 second. So you're going to get that energy back twice as quick as you're trampling people with that shoulder charge. So there are a lot of fun Titan perks, and they're going to give you, they're going to give you that power to say, I'm going to drop some serious damage on single targets or in single areas. So it's going to be interesting to see these changes coming in. And I've had a lot of fun playing with the shoulder charge perk already, just dealing more damage, even just taking that into Mayhem and just, able to close that distance in Mayhem or in Crucible against people with my shoulder charge super. getting closer to then either bring that Fist of Havoc down or just shoulder charge enemies. So lots of fun changes come to the Titan. And now we get to our Warlocks.
I'll take the Warlocks. Okay, so you've got your Nova Bombs. So I think there's the lack of use in at least PvP for the Nova Bombs. So you've got the Cataclysm Nova Bomb. They've increased the damage from 900 to 1,500 and the detonation radius from 8 meters to 10. And the secret projectiles now detonate, the damage is increased from 205 to 300. So you're going to get a bigger range and a bigger hit. So those Seekers are going to just be pinging all over the place, which is going to be brilliant. The Vortex Nova Bomb, normally you use it on your boss damage. So the initial detonation has gone up from 900 to 1,200, and the lingering damage is increased from 10 to 23 ticks. I've watched a video by Fallout Players who's done a breakdown of all these supers, and it just shows you normally get Guardians that run through your Nova Bomb thinking, I'm just going to carry on shooting you. Now, if they run through the Nova Bomb, they're just going to tick and die. So that is, that's welcome, because that's one thing you don't really want is throwing out your Nova Bomb and then just running straight through it and just hitting you like a Titan running through and hitting you. So you've got your Nova Warp, that's slightly slowed the movement. So again, Fallout did, on his video, he showed a before and after of the Titan running at full sprint and the Nova Warp managing to stay with him in his run. Now they've been slightly slowed down, so you can run away from the Nova Warp super. And the charging up, so that's when you're holding it in a ball, costs more energy. So that's the initial charge cost each time you trigger it has been increased by 60%, and the duration decreased by 6.8 seconds. So your super is going to last a little bit shorter, because I think there was a lot of people running around the maps just going from place to place, killing everybody and anybody. The damage against Guardians has been decreased by 27% as well. So you can tank a little bit more, because I think it was just overwhelming, those explosions from the Nova Wrap. It just would take anybody from, you could be miles above that super and still be taken out. So you've got the Dawnblade, the Daybreak super. They've increased against minor, major and mini bosses combatants by 43% and increased the duration. And Stormcaller, they've increased the Chain Lightning maximum target count by 1. So you're not really going to notice it that much, but it will trigger an extra 1 enemy further out. And that's what they've done for the Warlock so far.
So I want to backtrack just a little bit before before we have to end. When you were talking about how they have the tiers for the Titans now, and how you have to go higher to get to the highest tier. Two things I imagine. The first thing, coming into spawning in on Nessus, right, and just seeing like 8 Titans just jumping off the highest point and coming down with their things, just like. Just raining Titans, right?
It's like you're in my brain, because that was the first thing I thought about too when I read this update.
The second thought, right? Because it's raining Titans, that song by I think it was the Weather Girls popped into my head. It's raining men, except it's just Titan, and then all the clips are gonna have just like tons of Titans jumping from the tops of ridiculously high buildings or from the top of servitors and just all crashing down. Just gonna be a bunch of those snippets with just like not just like one Titan jumping, but like mobs of Titans
If this is not movie of the week of jumping off Artifact's Edge, because you can time that, or any of the public events with the servers where they lift you up in the air and then drop you,
yeah,
it's gonna be amazing. Or on the the strike where you jump way down, anything where you can jump off some kind of height and bring down with a group of Titans. Bungie, I'm just going to say, have you tested how many artifacts the game can handle? Because we're going to see a couple of them.
Because you can put, 9 people in an instance? 9 people. 9 Titans suiciding off of freaking high ledge, like freaking lemurs off a cliff. All just thunder crashing down. I challenge anybody out there. Take that song by the Weather Girls, It's Raining Men, and just put a bunch of snippets of Titans doing this nonsense in this video, and you'll have, I don't even know how many hits on YouTube. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be the funniest video ever. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to wrap it up there. Okay. We are probably going to discuss the weapon tuning and the clan update in our next podcast, because there are a lot of exciting things coming out with the weapons that we would like to highlight.
Oh, yeah.
So it's over to you, Parody, to close the show.
All right. Well, you can find us if you want to shoot us an email. We are two titans, TWOTITANS, and a hunter, all spelled out, at hotmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter. We are at the number 2Titan_hunter. You can find me. Parody is PEROTY. I'm on Xbox Live and Twitter. Same handle. That's me. Hit me up sometime. We'll go kill things. Respawn doesn't believe in the internet. You can't find him online. And you can find Night Demon on Xbox. He is Night Demon, NITEDEMON. And you can find No One Respawns on Xbox Live at...
It's No One Respawn with an S, INRL. That is No, the number one, the word Respawns, INRL.
Or just check the show notes where we'll write all of this out, because we are super professional and great at this.
Yeah, okay. I mean, of course we are, because... We strive for, what's that word, where things never go wrong? Oh, God. Oh,
mediocrity?
No, it's a word. I heard it once upon a time. It's been perfection. Ha! That's what it, that's, yes, we strive for perfection. That's what
we
it
struggle
is.
Struggle for perfection.
The struggle again, is real.
Tell your friends, tell everybody about me. I mean, us, obviously, us, you know, spread the word. We're the best people ever when it comes to Destiny information, because if we don't know it, we know how to find it, and we'll bring it to you as soon as we can.